Welcome to Obuleti Oromo Women's Network monthly webinar and podcast. Our conversations are based on topics and issues that are prevalent in the Oromo community, especially pertaining to women. The podcasts are based on recorded monthly webinars led by leaders in our community. These podcasts are meant to attend to the education component of Obuleti's mission. If you're interested in learning more, please contact us via our website, email, and or social media networks. Webinar resources can be found on our website at obuleti.org/webinars. Welcome to Obuleti's webinar on the implications of hookah on our community. And so the two ladies here today, Shubhe and Najaha, will be talking about what hookah is and how it impacts us.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Najaha Muse, and I'm a current second-year medical student in Virginia. And I will sort of go into some of the effects of hookah at the end of our presentation here and give you guys some alternatives that might be helpful.
Hi, everyone. Like Najaha said, thank you. Thank you all for joining us. My name is Shubhe Shamsuddin. I am located in Columbus, Ohio here. And I guess by profession, I'm a physician assistant. So it's kind of nice that you guys are all here. This is an exciting topic for us all. I got a chance to do like a literature review on it a while back, just because it is something that affects our community. And of course, we're always looking for how, you know, what can we do that affects our community? What can we learn about that affects our community? And hookah is certainly one of the biggest things that has really bad adverse health effects. And so it's good that we're discussing it. So thank you all for joining us.
If we may, before we get started, is there any burning questions that you guys have that you guys would like us to address in our presentations? We'll try to sort of jot that down and then try to emphasize them as we go throughout our presentation.
A few questions that were posted on social media that were asked. One of them is hookah a cultural thing? What are the social and health implications? And then are there any studies regarding its impact? Another person asked, is hookah haram? And another question was, how dangerous is it to people who are not smoking, but who are sitting in the room?
Those are really good questions. Thank you for bringing those up. Thank you for bringing up those questions. We do have several slides that address the questions, so we'll make sure to emphasize them as we go over, when we come to them.
So a lot of people know hookah is another form of smoking tobacco, essentially. If you guys haven't seen it before, we have a picture of it that's up. And it's basically this apparatus that has a water base, and then it has like a hose that the smoke travels through. And then on top, there is a, I'm not sure what it's called, but there's
perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So there's like this headpiece where they usually put like the nicotine or the tobacco containing product into the headpiece, and then they usually cover that with aluminum foil. And if you guys have seen anyone who does hookah, usually they have they go and they like burn charcoal, and they put the charcoal pieces on top of the aluminum foil, and then they usually smoke through the mouthpiece that's visible here. And then they usually inhale some of that, a lot of that smoke, but then they also blow it out too. When you blow it out, it creates like a smoky atmosphere almost. And so most of the people surrounding the area is also inhaling the same or for the most part similar thing as to the person that's actually smoking. Hookah, in I guess we know it, Oromo people know hookah as shisha. We don't really call it hookah. So I guess we can refer to it as shisha, which is just more commonly known in our area. Hookah, someone said, so one of the questions that came up was, is hookah a cultural thing? Is it like an Oromo culture? Hookah is not traditionally an Oromo culture. It's something that came from the Middle Eastern culture and a lot of like the Southeast Asian or the Indian cultures. So it's not an Oromo thing. And from my perspective, I think it came into the Oromo community more or less recently as a result, like since like the Derg or something, when more Oromos started traveling outside of the country and they came in contact with all these other cultures, they started seeing hookah. So traditionally, even in our communities, like if you know any or if you have family members that do it, a lot of times it's the people that have traveled elsewhere that do it, and it's not the people that, I don't know, it's not like the people that were born and raised in Oromia, except, or I guess that have lived there for a long time, except that's changing now. So, all right. So why is hookah so popular? So a lot of these slides don't go in order, I guess, because it's, because I did this for a project that was tailored slightly different, but we're just kind of using it as a guidelines today. So hookah in America, hookah is relatively popular amongst like the younger population, college students in particular, and a lot of like hookah bars and things like that that are available oftentimes targets them for these, like targets these younger populations. So that's what this slide is showing. Why is hookah a problem? Hookah is a public health issue. Just like smoking is a public health issue, hookah is a public health issue, and it's considered to be the next tobacco epidemic. So cigarette smoking for the longest time was considered a huge public health problem, and it still is to some degree. But in this country particularly, there was a lot of public health awareness campaigns that were put out. I don't know if people are familiar with like the Surgeon General's campaign that was put out several years ago just to try and get people to quit. And they did so much work to the point where even the people that are smoking now kind of know the effects of smoking cigarettes. Hookah or shisha, on the other hand, people don't know much about it. And in this country in particular, there's not much research that's done on it. A lot of the products that are used in shisha are not FDA approved products, which means they can contain anything and everything, and none of it is regulated, right? And because people don't know, people just kind of go to it as kind of like the other thing that they can do that's not as harmful. And hookah has always been kind of publicized as like a safer alternative. So people always thought, I guess just like way back from when it was, when hookah was made, they made it as what they considered a safer alternative. And they've been publicizing it as such. And and in reality, it's not actually safer. Sorry, Najah, I'm like all over the place. I'm not going in order. So I guess in the research that I did way back when, one of the things that I looked at was, is shisha an actual safer alternative? And I guess for me, I felt like this was relevant to us as a community, because a lot of people in our community think, oh, shisha is not as bad as smoking cigarettes. It's not addictive. It doesn't cause the same health problems. And so we can do it and it's okay. But in reality, it's not. And there's a lot of research that shows that it's actually not. You can skip this page. All right, go back to the previous one. Yes. So smoking in any form, right, exposes you to not just the nicotine, but it also exposes you to a lot of other compounds that are toxic and dangerous, and that also just creates a lot of public, or not public health issues, but just a lot of health issues as a result, right? So you get, when you smoke shisha in general, there's a lot more of these toxic compounds that you're exposed to. Things like carbon monoxide is a big thing. And carbon monoxide, as we all know, leads to carbon monoxide poisoning that oftentimes can be fatal. And carbon monoxide is found in higher number in shisha smokers than it is in regular cigarette smokers. So that's something big to note. And then other things, there are a lot of like heavy metals, formaldehyde, nitrous oxide, just a ton of things that are carcinogenics, which means they can cause cancer in one form or another. So smoking shisha, just like cigarettes, can lead to lung cancer, and studies have shown that the risk of lung cancers amongst those who smoke shisha is identical to those who smoke cigarettes. And we know lung cancer is like the number one adverse health effect of smoking in general, right? And hookah has the same risk, and it's not any less than it is in cigarette smoking. It can also cause oral cancer. So smoking hookah is considered, because the tobacco touches the oral mucosa, a lot of times it leads to changes in the cells that make up the oral mucosa, and that over time can lead to different types of cancers. So smoking, as we know, leads to other things as well. And shisha, like I said, is no different. So things like COPD, COPD, things like chronic bronchitis, emphysema type of things, are found at the same rate in both smokers, right? Hookah can also leads to like hypertension, elevated blood pressure. It can lead to increased heart rate. It also decreases like your good cholesterol over time, and then increases the bad cholesterol, right? Which we know can cause things like coronary heart disease and atherosclerosis, which is basically like just built plaque buildup in the body that can eventually lead to bad things. Like I said, coronary heart disease being the big one, stroke being another one. So hookah, because of the way that it's made up, like I said, you have that mouthpiece that that multiple smokers are sharing at the same time. There are different types of microorganisms that can spread as a result. So different bacterias, viruses, and fungi. Specifically, they have found things like cold sores, mononucleosis, Aspergillus pneumonia is a fungal pneumonia. TB is very big in our community because a lot of people have TB, particularly back home, and they're not aware. And that's one of the big ones that can spread. Things like common cold, like I said, pneumonia, bronchitis type of things. Thrush, oral candida is a fungal infection of the throat and the tongue that can spread. There has also been cases of bacterial meningitis and H. pylori that have been reported. So shisha, like smoking, like none of these are any different. None of the stuff that I'm listing off is any different. In fact, what we realize, and I think I touch on that a little bit later, is that the rates that these diseases occur in people who smoke shisha versus those who smoke cigarettes is a lot higher, just because the amount of smoke that you inhale is a lot more. And so, like I said, none of this is any different. Smoking leads to like low birth weights in pregnant women, and respiratory distress, and just like lung issues in newborn babies. And hookah smokers are no different by any means. And so this is basically saying there was one study that looked at whether hookah smokers actually want to quit, right? And they found that there are a handful of smokers who do want to quit, but then they find that it's not easy. It's not as easy because, like I said, nicotine is a huge component of the tobacco product that they inhale. And because of that, they have difficulties because these things are addictive, right? Because they have difficulties, it's a lot harder to quit. So studies do show that people do want to quit, but the question of how should they quit? There are a lot of things that are geared towards cigarette smokers. Things like there's a nicotine patch that's out there, there's the gum that's out there, and there's like a couple other things that people who smoke cigarettes can use to help them quit, because it helps replaces the nicotine, which is that addictive product in tobacco smoking. So they use these replacive therapies to quit, and they're saying a lot of times those nicotine replacement therapies work just as well for shisha smokers. So our people can use those as well. So all in all, from I guess what all this is saying is just that shisha is not a safer alternative, and we need to have a campaign better, even in our communities, and just like the public in general needs to know more about what's going on with shisha and how bad it is and the health effects that that it leads to. Najah's going to take over and explain the rest of this. I think she's muted.
Unmute. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Shubhay, for going over your research and the implications of hookah and how hookah is not really any different from smoking tobacco and the misconceptions around hookah and why people actually smoke it. I just wanted to sort of recap everything you've said in a more, imagery. I'm going to give you guys some imageries. If you are able to view these slides on your phone or on the computer, that would be really helpful. This is giving you basically a recap of everything we just talked about. And to start off, we're looking at the risks from smoking, how hookah and cigarette smoking can affect your bodily organs. So Shubhay said, it affects, multiple organs. It affects your lungs, contributing to COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is it's got a high mortality rate, which means that people actually die from it really quickly. Once you're admitted to the hospital for COPD or exacerbations of COPD, it's very unlikely that you'll be able to recover from it because it's such a high fatality disease. As well as, like Shubhay said, because when you're sharing the hookah mouthpiece with your guests or whoever you smoke with, a lot of times you end up spreading diseases, and so that affects your lungs as well. You're spreading viruses and bacteria like tuberculosis as well as mononucleosis. I think a lot of these diseases have a common theme, and that's a lot of times when you're smoking constantly, when you're chronically smoking, you pretty much are jeopardizing your immune system. And so a lot of the diseases that come about because of immune suppression are gonna show itself during either when you're pregnant or either when you're sick from a virus. All of that is just gonna be a lot more serious because you're immune compromised from smoking. So this next slide just shows you basically the effects that smoking hookah has on women in particular. We have a lot of things going against us in the first place, especially in our reproductive years. You know, you're trying to stay healthy so that you can have a baby, all of that. If you're not taking care of yourself, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, that already is, you know, kind of a risk factor for having complications in pregnancy and after pregnancy. So when you add smoking into that picture, you know, there's a high mortality rate, there's a higher chance of complications during pregnancy. And one interesting thing to note, I don't know if we have a lot of women in attendance, but you, especially if you're over 35 as well, you can't have oral contraceptives when you're smoking, because there's a higher chance of you know, like pulmonary embolism. You have a higher chance of having a lot more complications from smoking and having oral contraceptives. So not even including all the things that you already have going against you, if you're already on medications for other conditions and you have, and you're also a chronic smoker, there's a high chance that you'll have a more chronic condition come up during this time. And so we highly suggest that you consider quitting smoking if that's already a part of your lifestyle. This doesn't show up very well, but this basically shows like a diagram version of what Shubhi touched on, the complications of smoking, lung cancer, heart disease, and chronic COPD. And then she also talked about the fact that there's huge exposure for secondhand smoke to people in the setting that you're smoking. And obviously with our community, smoking shisha has come up, become a more communal event, a communal thing that people do together. And so that's, that creates a higher risk exposure for people who don't smoke. So if, for example, if there are people living in multi-unit housing, like in apartments, if you're in your apartment smoking, but you have an elderly neighbor next door, like you're exposing them to these you know, harmful chemicals without them knowing. And so we really have to be cognizant of the effects, the unwanted effects that smoking has on our neighbors as well as our children. You know, they're so vulnerable. When they're growing, they need to have the best environment to grow. And when you add secondhand smoke, like that already creates a, you know, a barrier for them to grow to their full potential. So this is just kind of an idea that I had. A lot of people told me that they smoke because it creates kind of a mood for them during Bharta or their, you know, gatherings. And so if that's the only thing you smoke, if that's the only reason why you smoke, I think I have a good alternative, and that's aromatherapy infusers. This will basically create the environment that you want, including some really scented essential oils. And so if you guys are able to view this picture, this is a picture of an infuser or a diffuser. You can buy it on Amazon. It's like $20 or so. And you can add whatever essential oils to it. So you add the water in the infuser and you add the essential oils as well. So that will pretty much infuse these very healthy alternatives to nicotine and carcinogenic chemicals in the air. And you can use it for your bharta or any other time for your own leisure. So this is my answer to smoking shisha. I think that is all we have for you. Any questions?
Hello, hi. Hi, assalamu alaikum, akum, everybody. What I want to know is, how can we get this talk, this conversation translated into Oromo so that our parents, essentially our older crowd who don't speak English and don't have the, you know, the leisure of speaking and understanding English itself, can receive the message as well?
We can inshallah do something else in Afanuruho. No, I think, so the nice thing is, maybe that's something we can work on, Najah. We have a lot of health professionals that are very fluent in Afan Oromo. So inshallah, that's something good to to actually do. And the other thing is we can just do the same presentation in Afaan Oromo. I mean.
Yeah, and that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel it's very, very important because obviously most of the times people think that a lot of things are not hereditary, but just off of eye view and just being in the presence, like you guys were saying earlier, we develop those cravings because we've seen our parents do it or because we, you know, it's in our bloodstream, you know, history and DNA is very real, energy is very real. And I personally, I'm a part-time smoker. However, that doesn't mean that I'm only exposed to the effects part-time. I'm definitely exposed to the effects full-time, you know what I'm saying? So all that is hereditary, all that is just all visual, you know, monkey see, monkey do. So yeah, I just think it's really important in that we should definitely, as soon as possible, try to get it going. And a lot of our parents are already, you know, when they are smoking shisha, they are scrolling down Facebook, even if they can't read anything, they are, you know, listening to talks in Afaan Oromo via Facebook. So it definitely would be essential for us to do that so that we can not only take care of us, I don't know how old everyone else here is, but we can, you know, bridge the gap between age groups.
That's a really great point that you made about, you know, it's not, you don't cognizantly make the decision to smoke a lot of times in our community because you're in the environment, your parents smoke or your grandparents smoke. And so that's a really good point to sort of keep in mind, as well as, yes, I think it's a great idea that you suggested in terms of translating this into the Oromo. For the people, those that can't speak English. So we'll definitely keep that in mind. Thank you so much for your insight.
No problem.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I think you're right. All of us are exposed, you know, we're not, I mean, as much as like as a healthcare professional, I want to stay away from it because I know how bad it is. But at the end of the day, you know, if someone in my household smokes or if someone, you know, someone that I'm close to smokes, at the end of the day, we're all in the surroundings. And barcha is a popular thing. We talked about whether shisha was in, like a cultural thing. Shisha is not a cultural thing. But barcha is definitely a cultural thing, especially for those of us that are from the Eastern Oromia region, but it's just definitely a cultural thing for us. And everyone does it. We all do it. It's a way of us sitting down and socializing with everyone. The problem now is that shisha has been introduced into barcha to the point where there's no barcha that happens without the presence of shisha. And a lot of times it's not just one shisha, right? It's like 2, 3, 4, 5 in some cases. And so it's just, I think we do need to do a lot better job at just educating our people in general at how bad it is.
Shubha, could you tell us what barcha is? I feel like it's not a common thing amongst all Oromo identities.
Yeah, absolutely. So barcha is a, how do you explain barcha? Barcha is a, I guess it's just like a social gathering, right? Where people sit down, they traditionally like drink hoja, buna, and they have their tea and they sit there and they chew chat, right? And they have these like lively social discussions about all kinds of things. And it's a way for, I guess, our people to connect, right? People have always, Jima is a big thing in our, like all over Oromia, but particularly in the Eastern Harargye region, Jima is a big thing. And people use it as a way to like boost their energy because a lot of people are farmers, right? So right before they go into this big farming event, they will go, they'll do like Ijabana or something and they'll do all kinds of things just to boost their energy. And I think, but so because of that, like barcha is something that's been around for the longest time. But like I said, nowadays, it's not so much as there's no purpose for barcha more than just socializing and hanging out, right? it used to be, like I said, people use it as a way to get energy, but now they're just here.
So I'm surprised that a lot of people have never heard about Barcha. Is it because, so is it mostly prominent in the eastern region only? Like, is that where it's?
Yeah, I'm not really, I wasn't familiar with the idea of Barcha until I moved to Minnesota.
Gotcha.
But it's, I don't know about other people, but I personally have never been exposed to it.
Like Shubhe was saying, I think in our community, it's a hookah smoking with Barcha is a really like a recent phenomenon, because before people only did Barcha, which is to get together and chew jima, and that was the end of that. But now when they add in shisha, because Barchas are, they take such a long time, they're literally like sometimes 12 hours long. So mm-hmm. the entire time, when you're sitting around and conversing about politics or culture or whatever that may be, there is shisha smoking that entire time. So whereas like if people were just to go out to a hookah bar and smoke for like 1 or 2 hours, there's a huge difference between that and smoking for 12 hours in a room, in a very, very small room a lot of times with multiple people, you know? So there's a higher risk, especially in our community, because of that higher exposure.
They say there was one study that said smoking an hour of shisha is as if you've smoked 10 cigarettes. You know, mm-hmm. like some smokers would say, oh, I only smoke, you know, half a pack a day or something like that. If you smoke an hour of shisha, you're already like more than halfway to that half a pack per day. So right. it is pretty significant.
And I think you mentioned the fact that shisha, like smoking is one thing, but also you're adding into the equation the charcoal burning. So that is a higher carbon monoxide exposure. People would never go out into a smoke. Like you don't go towards the smoke, but in a room when you have the carbon or when you have the charcoal burning, essentially you're exposing yourself to carbon monoxide, your children to carbon monoxide, anybody that's already immune compromised, there's a higher chance of them actually, you know, developing respiratory issues because of that. So I think if you break it down into pieces and pieces, like shisha is way worse than smoking. So people should you know, forget the idea that it's a better alternative to smoking.
You know, the funny thing is smoke alarms would go off. This is a tangent, but smoke alarms would go off in houses when people are smoking shisha. And I've seen it where they've even like put bags over it. So
so yeah, your house is telling you something is dangerous, but you're telling it, don't remind me, okay? I want to keep smoking.
Yes, I'm yeah. sure over time, carbon monoxide detectors would also go off and people are just like, no. Yeah.
It's sad.
Another question that was posed is, how old do you have to be in order to purchase hookah or shisha?
I don't think there is any, like, there's, it's not mandated that you be a certain age, because it's not federally regulated. It's not regulated at all. But I don't know about cigarettes. Do you have to be a certain age for cigarettes?
Cigarettes in most places nowadays, you have to be, I think, 21 and older to purchase cigarette tobacco products. Hookah, on the other hand, or shisha products, there's no regulations. And a lot of times they sell them at these like ethnic grocery shops or like ethnic stores, right? So mm-hmm. there's absolutely no regulation. There's no one checking your ID. You can send your, you know, 10-year-old son inside this shop and say, you know, get me a pack of this, and no one would ever question it.
I think I've read that there are, I think now the age of purchasing tobacco has increased to the age of 21, mm-hmm. But in previous years it's been 18. And I think that now laws are starting to become more strict in terms of purchasing the hookah, right? Like if you're going to a local store in order to purchase it, I think it's 18. But I think as you all were saying, there aren't specific restrictions on it or anything like that.
for a second, can we talk about solutions as far as, I heard somebody mention it earlier, the nicotine patch being able to be utilized, just like, you know, if you were to smoke cigarettes, you can utilize that patch. What else is there in your, what else do you guys think we can possibly do, or we can bring awareness to help people stop smoking shisha, especially not just amongst our group? I'm a global thinker, so I'm thinking even like the East African community as a whole, but of course first we have to start with, you know, at home base. So what other steps do you guys believe that we can take to increase not only the knowledge, but really, you know, nail in down on the effects that it has, not only in our community, but in our children, because essentially our children are our future. And even though we're here on this side of the world, we can be very effective to back home. And if we're not thinking on that frequency and that right, then we're just blindly and consciously making decisions to not create those changes and not create, you know, those influential children and feed their minds to be able to create change amongst our people, you know, which isn't especially the world. So what other steps do you guys think that we can take? Because I have some ideas right now, but however, I want you guys to go ahead and take the floor.
I think, like you said earlier, I think education is our first step. So we have to educate our elders, we have to educate our youth to know about the actual effects of hookah smoking. We have to sort of demystify it and, you know, really tell people the facts. The facts are that hookah smoking is, if not more as dangerous or more dangerous than cigarette smoking. And I think the next step is to say, hey, like, how is this affecting my, you know, my daily life? For example, if you're, you know, spending so many hours smoking, one, that's, you know, decreased efficiency. Two, how is it affecting you financially? So when you have to buy, you know, the whatever the thing is, you know, you have to buy supplies for the hookah, how is that affecting your savings, or how is that affecting you financially? I think looking at it from all different perspectives, like if your like argument is that no, it's not addictive at all, you know, but you continue to do it, can you quit and see the positive effects that it has on your various parts of your life? And I think that's really a more practical way to approach it, because people will not believe until they see. So I think, you know, making people see for themselves how it can better their life is really important.
Just to add on to that, one of the biggest things that I guess studies have shown that I guess one of the reasons why hookah is so addictive, like even more so than cigarettes, it's more of that behavioral aspect, that when you're smoking hookah, you're smoking with friends, you're doing it with like your best friend or that close person, husband and wife or whatever it is, right? And you're using it to bond socially more or less, right? Whereas a lot of times when people smoke cigarettes, especially nowadays with all the regulations that's there, no one smokes in the house. Well, not no one, but most people don't smoke in the house. A lot of times they have to go outside to smoke. Oftentimes they're isolated because they have to remove themselves from smoking, right? All of these things over the long run kind of help people realize, oh, I don't want to be by myself smoking. I don't want to be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be standing in the cold, or I don't want to be like just, you know, isolated in doing this thing. Whereas shisha, when you do it, there's all that behavioral social aspect of it. And a lot of times that leads to it being even more addictive. So if we can find a way to kind of break that behavior of sitting down and having shisha in a social gathering, oftentimes kind of helps people quit as well. So not to say you should avoid those social gatherings, but just find an alternative. So, you know, like I said, if you're sitting barcha with your friends or family or whatever, find something else to do during barcha that doesn't involve shisha. That way your mind is not there, you know, mentally you're not thinking about it. So you're not going to be, I guess you won't be more likely to do it if you're not thinking about it. The other thing is that, like, when you're sitting, you know, like, just have something in your mouth or have something that you're constantly just doing in motion, and that just kind of diverts your attention again to just kind of helps you quit in the long run.
Now you have the floor. Go ahead and tell us your ideas about how we can help people quit.
Were you talking to me?
Yes. Sorry, I didn't catch your name earlier. What's your name?
It's Rabla.
Rabla?
Rabla, yeah.
Awesome. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys too. And it's great to be here, honestly. It's really nice to see people having elevated conversations. I definitely am grateful and appreciative for this because, you know, they might say that it's not addictive, but honestly it is, because me as I'm not a healthcare provider. However, I am definitely health conscious, and you know, like, I teeter totter between, you know, my vegan diet and just, you know, and just eating very little meat here and there. But however, all that to say that I'm very health conscious, and as much as I don't want to smoke, you know, I've participated in marijuana smoke, you know, my younger years, or, you know, even just last year. I'm not going to sit here and try to sound like an older woman, like, you know, in her 30s or whatnot, but I am 25 years old, and, you know, I very well participated in marijuana smoke, and that essentially had to stop, because I know that once it becomes a smoke, or once you've rolled it into that tobacco leaf, you've changed the entire alchemy of the plant. Even though you're saying, oh, it's a plant, it's okay, you've changed the entire alchemy of it by creating it to become smokable. So therefore, now you've just literally destroyed the whole component of the benefits of the plant itself. So with people believing that shisha is much better and it's a better alternative than cigarette smoke or whatever else that's out there, because it has the water vapor component to it, it's not. And it is addictive, because as much as I don't promote it, or I don't want, you know, whomever is in my family or my immediate circle to do it, here and there I'll participate and I'll sit there and I'll smoke along. You know what I'm saying? I might not can hang as much as they do. I might get a little dizzy. Most likely I get dizzy and I go to lay down, and that alone lets you know that, hey, your body is rejecting this. And it's been plenty of times I've walked upstairs and I felt totally lightheaded. And just like a week ago, honestly, I walked upstairs and I was like falling to the ground. And it also has, that also had to do with me not, my immune system being weak on its own because of the weather change and me not being from Minnesota, but yet, you know, my body's not immune to this. So I've noticed that when I'm sitting there smoking, I get lightheaded or I get sleepy, and I need to remove myself from the bark child from the scene. So it's not healthy. However, I still find myself, you know, picking it back up or sitting there until they pass it to me, and then I hit it a couple times. So the idea of it being addictive is very well true, because even if you're a little bit addicted, you're still addicted. You know, if you can't control that part of you, it's a brain, your mind is totally affected. It's totally affected your chemistry. So one of the ways that I definitely think that we can help, sorry for running on, one of the ways I think that we can help and definitely educate the community, especially, you know, educating the world, is to run a campaign per se, maybe even start a nonprofit, or, you know, and these things take time, however, but I think that it's important to maybe reach out to the nicotine companies with the patches or whoever. And it might seem like a taboo, or just like a might seem crazy to the community, but if we were able to somehow, you know, bring each other together at one of these Oromo community meetings or whatever, and then give them out per se, reach out to the organization and have them donate or even purchase, even if it means putting a little bit of our money forward, because essentially we do have to put some type of money towards something. If you want change, you know, your words are powerful, however, but when you put your money into something, you create that change. So if we were to have run some type of fundraiser, or even just go ahead and just put our little bit of money in it, talk to the company and get you know, so much donated and we were to give it out, then we spark the thoughts, then we plant a seed and let that seed grow. You know what I'm saying? Letting them know that this is how addictive it is. This is how important it is for you to pay, to be mindful about this. Like, yes, you do have to put the nicotine, either use the gum or use the patch or use the shot or whatever is out there. I'm not quite sure, but I know that the gum and the patch is out there. So use it. So once we put those, you know, we plant that seed, once we bring that to their consciousness, I believe that we create more aware, not only adults, but even children, that, oh, shisha is just as bad. You know what I mean? And it's important. And I think that's one of the steps that we can possibly take here in the near future. And if you guys ever do meet anybody, volunteers, I'm more than willing. Or even somebody who can advocate for this and, you know, start it with you guys. I definitely think that that'd be a good approach to somewhat get in contact with the organizers of the community meetings and let them know, hey, we want to come and present this idea and speak about this idea in whatever way or whatever time frame that they allow us to, and then also give those contraceptives out. I think that that'd be a great way to start.
That's really great. Thank you so much for sharing not only, you know, steps that we can take, but also your testimony. Like, it's coming really from a really good place and coming from someone who really wants to see this epidemic stop and change people's perspectives. So we really appreciate you coming forward. I think if you're able to, why don't you go give your information to Howie, which is Oblate Ormo, on the participants list there, and like give her your information so that we can follow up after this discussion as well.
I will do. I'll do that. And you're welcome. Thank you for, again, for the platform. It's beautiful, and I'm very proud of you guys. Yes, and definitely, 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 wholeheartedly, all for the change. And I will create, and like, you have to tell your testimony. Your testimony is what really sets the tone, because you can't sit up here and act like you're not a participant and, or you've never participated, because then you don't connect with the people who are participating. You know what I'm saying? So you have to make it as real and raw as possible. And that's just the truth of the matter. Like me and my friend were just joking, like, I wonder how many people are listening to this talk right now as they're smoking. So I'm sure those who are muted are laughing right now, but it's real. Like, I'm sure there's people smoking shisha right now, but they're just listening. And more power to you guys, because you're here, you're present, and that seed is still being planted. So thank you for being present. If you are smoking shisha while you're listening to this talk or not, those seeds are being planted, and that's very important. So
absolutely. And I want to just reiterate the fact that, like, I also was afraid that only people who didn't smoke would show up, but I'm glad that you're here, and this is a wonderful discussion that you've given us. I hope that we can reach a bigger audience, those that actually smoke, because what can we do? I mean, for those of us that don't smoke, like, we can't have as much of an impact as those who have gone through the experience, those who have smoked chronically. And so you can absolutely speak on, like, the ill effects that it has on your health and give us, you know, a better way forward. I think you guys are probably the spokespeople for this campaign, and the most effective in reaching people who actually are smokers. So we really appreciate you coming on. This was not meant to be a judgmental, like, discussion or anything. We just wanted to basically bring the facts and have you guys sort of have a dialogue with us back and forth about, you know, how we can move forward. So we really appreciate your attendance.
A question that was asked is, what responsibility do we have, those of us who don't smoke, or those of us who do smoke, who are in those environments where there is barcha or there is hookah happening? Like, what responsibility do we have in terms of educating? Because I know that if there is tons of people around you who are smoking, you yourself don't want to feel isolated or feel like the person who's being judgmental, although you're hoping to just provide education, people might perceive you in a negative light. So what recommendations would you all have for those individuals?
I think the best, this is coming from experience, but I think the best way to probably educate them is not in that barcha setting. A lot of times, just from what I've seen from experience, people would just be like, ah, you know, here she is again with her lectures or something like that. Or they'll just find other gatherings, or they'll say, you know, like, we'll just go smoke in this room or something like that, and we'll come back. So they'll find our alternative, and they'll easily get offended as well when they have actually sat down. And so I think the best way to probably just to educate them is to just tell them at other times. If you have a close friend, a close family members, just let them know, like, hey, you know, this thing that you're doing is not a good thing, and here, you know, here's what's wrong with it. And just give them a breakdown, and just talk to them. You know, people, like we're seeing, thank you. Is it Rabla? She said, we appreciate the testimonies because people do connect to those testimonies. And likewise, when you connect to someone on a personal level and try to just tell them, hey, look, I'm not being judgmental. I care about you, and this is why I'm telling you that this thing is bad. They'll take it, and they'll hear it a lot more than if you were to just go, like, you know, like, bomb their barcha party or something. That wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah, I think definitely that environment, if you were to address it during the barcha, they would get probably very defensive and call you a party pooper.
Yeah.
I think I've been in situations where people are like, oh, like, you don't smoke, but, like, you don't have to impose your, you know, yeah, sort of views on us. And so it becomes a very contentious and, like, defensive conversation. And that's not really how you're able to reach them. So I think definitely what you said about, you know, trying to talk about it after the fact, or, like, before, you know, they start to prepare or and sit down, is probably a really great idea.
Yeah, and I think just adding on to that, like, I mean, it's best to avoid these settings because you don't want to inhale secondhand smoke yourself, right? But then at the same time, just in terms of, like, teaching, you can go to these gatherings and just be that person that has the alternative, that has something else that they can do, especially if you don't mind being there, right? Just be someone that's there with something else that can be done in these barcha or in these, like, smoking settings or whatever. That way they can see, hey, I don't have to sit here and do this. I can sit here and be like him or her and just do whatever else is there to do. You know what I mean? So right, they just teaching them that alternative is, I think, also a good way to get that message across.
I think that's a great idea. And just to add on to that, I think a lot of times when gatherings, there's usually really big gatherings in basements or whatnot. And so usually there's at least one room that no one is smoking in. And so I always find myself sitting with, you know, those people that are not smoking. And so I guess, like what you're saying, like, you can bring your aromatherapy infuser with you and set up your own little party over there. And if you had people with you that didn't smoke as well, you guys can all just sort of, like, segregate yourselves into the room that's non-smoker and have your own little party and actually invite people and say, hey, like, here's an alternative means to having fun. And so just showing people how you're able to sort of create that environment without getting exposed to the carcinogenic chemicals is really a wonderful idea.
You know, I find aromatherapy, like, funny, but it's effective in a way, you know? Growing up, people still do now, but that's what everyone did. You did it in the morning, you did it at night, you put your barcha stuff down, and you put your libanata on, and that's what set the mood, you know? And that's back when, I mean, they still do it now, but I guess maybe, I don't know, a lot less to how it used to be done. But that definitely does set the mood, and it just, like, it creates that nice, nice aroma.
Like, scented air, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys, that's what they told me, is, like, after they saw this discussion, they're like, so what is this about exactly? And I'm like, I mean, come and learn about something new. But then when I told them about what other alternatives there were, they're like, oh, so I mean, I only smoke it for the aroma, or like the setting for the barcha, the setting mood for the barcha. And I'm like, but there are other ways where you can get that same effect. And so when they found out about it, they're like, okay, so I'll try that and let you know how it goes. So I'm hoping that people will actually try out either Dvanata or the aromatherapy, like, because I'm sure, you know, they're younger people who smoke. So trying out the diffuser, the infusers with essential oils, and seeing how that works for their sort of setting the mood. That is to say that if you're not addicted already, you're able to make those changes. And so I guess it's a smaller subset of people that were suggesting that too.
So I heard somebody mention that they live here in Phoenix. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. I apologize. Not Phoenix. Here in Minneapolis. Again, this is Rob Left speaking. And I say that to say that I have access to a few people here. I'm new here to the States. However, I've been networking as much as I can. And I've, you know, kind of come across a group of people who are very proactive in their endeavors. And what I was just thinking as I was listening is, yeah, we have these alternatives as far as the aromatherapy is concerned, and creating that that mood and that setting to for an alternative to being a participant with the shisha. So with that, I think that you have to show people, just like you were saying. So yes, if you guys were at a barcha and you guys were participant there and you had your own little energy going there and you weren't participating with the shisha, just like a lot of other people don't, and they have the strength to not participate, or no desire to not participate as well, I think that it's essential to show people or to kind of display on a more bigger scale. So all that to say again is that if you guys weren't opposed to it per se, I don't know if culturally or religiously you guys choose not to, which is, again, fine, but to bring it to a platform and to create like webinars per se, and just kind of show people. I mean, we personally could be really relaxing and enjoying ourselves, obviously without the barcha, or what is essential in a barcha, because you know already what we can't display. But however, just creating that space of relaxation and conversation, and even having a conversation on a bigger scale as a like a webinar would be essential, I think. And it could go viral for all we know. And that's what we really need to do, because yes, we're here in Minnesota, or yes, we're all here on this phone, but it really needs to reach out to those people who we're not reaching. You know what I'm saying? Even if we were to go ahead and start a campaign here, and then, you know, slowly spark the interest of other people, and it, you know, spread, whether it's like wildfire, or just like spread slowly in amongst other states, there's people who are totally into the cyber world and who also need that platform to see. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah. Hello, Ogala lu divertiko fajira. I'm sorry, I think Anwar Kiran Shaksesa. Is that right? I'm the only one, a guy here.
No, don't be sorry. And you're not the only guy.
There are a couple guys. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Nuruddin Sule from Atlanta. What Niani Jachubar Badu, you know, first of all, audience in Jachubia is in reach out, go of them, and Kanalala. Make sure audience in, especially if you guys target on the women, would be more successful. I must relate to the dog of Dani, because there is a stigma. Most of the women are Tiamatufte, or Shisha is like this, Ojate. Oh, I'm Meshu Wambarate, if you want to connect to the era, stigma to Kojira. We need to be connected to these people. Yontani. I don't think you guys or, you know, we're going to make a difference. Senegal do bini duran durse planni shamarani fi hado one rati target yo goten hati mana yo ishin jolle fi ishi wante yo gote achin jarsas push godun dende si she can push it that way. rakon juru mari ni meta ni amma sadalli isi namma akaja tankana webinari malmali na kanati dem na yoja ten manni kenya hala kana ganara they are not I'm not you know underestimate guru ki ya fi mit you reach out if guru dan damu hala community dan hala masjidatin hala kanan hala foshatin tidai tani isam fakatani wanda kun bulti tai sanif jirenya kai sanif jolle tai sanif economically you know healthy kai sanif is gari miti bi faisa wal fakatu ariyoti ihata male if you wanna the way you guys are talking this is our like you know you are speaking to high level mata ki yagat is kai so fi miti mata ki yakha gari tin be khawanam be ku ministry mutin jira sigale and then this thing became epidemic much in Punjab everywhere even here in Atlanta there is so many hookah places that rakojra you know manake sarakojra is a very addictive garumon in dabe oje shamaran hedum be kha buma ararajal kame I'm not te khadab denim be kha without no you know medication or nicotine or anything it's a mental game yomrano qabates buani kidar what my point here is when ni gudana shin underline goru qabdan hal ummata kana akamiti approach go na ka jo yotin hojjelni hal all khutar and you know more sophisticated way oh I'm trying to do this intervention this webinar wa buan gudat yo to ste ummata shinya rafa gata de ma munni kun wan baratefi they are you know already nama barate ra kata isan tilalan adda so duran dursine akamiti hawasa kana approach godutin denya bi fa khamini ni and then who we gonna target first achiboda ummata target sanirati jijiramni ufnani khan achuman format argata de majeti yadar gamakiyan ani gamakiyan I'm not lying to you that's 14 years ago when I was a student yeah a pharmacy student I smoked but I got headache every time I smoke I got headache so I stopped it's been 15 years now since I stopped sigale namu one in tane fi yero sanin na du matana du ko every time so sanin fi reason an kabar I say it's not for me it wasn't fun for me ama bakajo len ku ka go turati on tae galgala mano gangalu na du ko ba kan umman go ne kana hu so I don't even like to be around those you know hookah places garu animman amma khaye ogajo ler anabo obolesh mukhiya ka dugu kana abu kalni kun gari mi oh atwana baratefi because you are this and that ja you obolesh khiya kala je imagine when you come out to another oromo and then you trying to teach something so approach akata eti approach it go no mata kana bifa isam fedanin bifa isal galu nyo ti demne we can make a difference khaju yada ka ba galatoma
Thank you so much. Very informative and very definitely solid points. I want to be mindful of everybody's time. We do have about 12 minutes left, and I want to give an opportunity to other people who have questions if they would like to ask it as well. So,
if no one has anything to say, not to discredit anything that our brother just exclaimed very profound statements and very good logic, very good idea, and definitely just to agree with you upon the fact that it is a mental game. It is definitely a stimuli, like how everyone else was mentioning earlier. Definitely is, and speaking about it to being a target, yes. That can be effective. However, cancer itself or these effects that we might can receive from smoking are not just limited to the women. And that's not to be rude or disrespectful to your approach. But I think that it's important for us to just really include everybody in, you know, the knowledge and the wisdom that they need to really gain behind all this, behind the entire stigma, behind the truth of it all. I think that yes, the woman is very essential to the home and she is effective to the home. However, everybody's going to do what they want to do. So I think it's important to keep it to a wide range and not sexualize or desexualize the situation and just target just the women or however, or just take that slow approach and just going for the women first, because everybody is doing it and everybody's immune to getting whatever it is that are that's out there to get, you know what I mean, the effects of it all.
Thank you, Rabla, for your points. Again, I think Dr. Nuruddin was saying that I think we have to be more specific in our targets. So like in our campaign, we have to target one specific population, even though we're not saying that it's just that particular population that's doing it. I think if we're more, if our goal is more targeted, I think we might have a better outcome, is I think what he's trying to say. But I really appreciate you saying that we shouldn't stigmatize just one specific group, because that can backfire as well. If we're saying, oh, we're only speaking to, you know, the moms or, you know, the girls in the home, like that's going to send the wrong message sometimes. And so we really have to be careful in picking our language and how we're going to sort of go about it, because we don't want to drive anybody away who's actually, you know, genuinely wanting to quit smoking.
I think just to add on to that, yeah, thank you for everyone for your input. But I think what Dr. Sule was saying is that you have a higher reach if you target women, which I can see, because if you target women, you know, they can not only affect their husbands and their brothers, but they can also affect the younger generation that's coming up. And I think that's probably a big thing that he's saying. But yes, we should be mindful of I guess, our target population. And we should maybe come up with a project as a result of all of this. I don't think we've thought that far. I think all we thought about was, let's present this webinar and let people just know of the health effects of hookah, in terms of just creating or helping to create that awareness. But there isn't anything further. And I think that's what you guys are all asking for, essentially, is that next project as a result of this. So we can definitely help, but I think everyone's asking for that next, like, what's the next thing? Okay, we know it's bad, now what, you know? And inshallah, maybe we can come up with something, all of us together, come up with something and just work on different projects to just help create awareness within our communities.
Yes, I definitely agree. And one of our goals of Obaleti is to have ideas that we discuss and not only have a conversation about them, but implement them in the community in a way that is effective. And so I guess the next step for me or as an organization, what we would do is start a subcommittee in our organization that focuses specifically on this issue. And that conversation or that group is not led by just Obaleti staff. It would be led by you all, those of you who are interested and are very motivated in making a difference or making a change in the community. And once we all have an agreement or have a method of distributing the information, then we can certainly do that. So if you all are interested, please feel free to reach out to me personally. My name is Hawi. Or you can contact Obaleti via our various social media pages as well as our email, and I can get you the next steps in terms of what we can do and how we can help. We definitely don't want it to end just with a conversation, but it starts with a conversation. So I'm very grateful for you all being here today, specifically Najaha and Shubbe, for being willing to be the leaders of this conversation. I think it is an issue that is very prevalent in our community, and it's impacting everybody on the spectrum, starting from children all the way to our elders. It's impacting us, and we just don't know it. And because it's such a new thing, we don't see the health implications yet, but they will occur and it will start to impact us in our health and in our minds and in a variety of ways. So I'm really, really grateful for you all being here today. Again, we have 5 more minutes left. If there are any last minute questions, you're more than welcome to ask. Or if you have any burning comments, questions, whatever, that need to be addressed outside of this, again, you can contact me or you can contact Najaha and Chupe as well, and they can answer those questions for you. So I'll open up the last 5 minutes to any questions. But again, being mindful of time, I want to end in about 5 minutes.
While we wait, I think someone, I think there's a question that Hawi, you brought up earlier about whether shisha was haram or not. I think
it definitely is.
It is. Anything that alters the normal mind is haram.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Anything that alters your normally physical is haram.
Anything that changes the alchemy of your chemistry is haram. I remember like 7-8 years ago in my mother's home listening to a hadith, and it definitely stated that anything altering your body is haram, period, point blank. Just as far as putting artificial nails on, putting artificial hair, putting that, you know, excessive makeup, anything is haram. So altering what goes inside your body, or anything that goes inside your body and alters the chemistry of your body, is haram. There's no debating that. And again, we probably don't want to always go at that approach, because we also do have a lot of people who are Waqifata or Christian, and we do want to keep it at a wide range. So not to discredit the question itself, but yes, it's haram.
I am not a scholar, so I cannot comment on that. I think the general consensus is that anything that alters your mental status or your body, putting chemicals in your body, is considered not condoned. So no one suggests that you should do it. But I think if you say the word haram, I think that really has a really huge connotation. So for me personally, I would shy away from using that word when I'm trying to reach out to audiences, because you're automatically telling them that they are doing something wrong. And so a lot of times we don't want to make them defensive. And so if you say that, like, there's really no discussion between you and them. If you say automatically what you're doing is completely wrong, there's no window for dialogue. And so I would myself personally would shy away from saying that to someone, even if a scholar has, you know, said that it's shisha in itself, you know, is haram. I wouldn't start the discussion with that personally.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a communication killer when you say something is haram. But yeah, I guess just to agree with you guys, I've heard that anything that damages the body, differences in the wording, but anything that damages the body is not, if it's not haram, it's highly disliked in the religion.
Picture of a girl, she's before and after. That's the big message, you know, for real.
Yes. Exactly.
Akana bare da surte jurunte o amma shambu da mu akana ta ta jete di magina korupe garfista. This is who you are. That's enough visual.
Yeah. Seeing is believing, right?
Yes,
it is.
I was just saying, in all the other countries, tobacco industry is mandated to put pictures of what will happen to your lungs if you smoke any tobacco products. So whether it's shisha or cigarettes or whatever it is. So a lot of times, even in Canada, I have an uncle who smokes from Canada, and he came and he pulled out his like pack of cigarettes, and I looked at it, and there's a picture of a lungs before and after picture of the lungs. And it's like this horrifying pictures. And he's like, yeah, that's just on there, you know, it's just on there. I'm like, yeah, it's on here for a reason. But yeah, it's a very good, visual to have out there available to people.
Yeah, when I was saying earlier about starting a campaign and reaching out to the people at any of these various meetings that our elders do have, we definitely have to have visuals. I was definitely seeing that in my hindsight, it's visuals, because even if people are not receiving what you're saying, your eyes are going to show you exactly what we're saying. So definitely having pictures of lungs and just showing that alone will definitely get those seeds planted, I believe.
Okay, thank you all again so much for joining us. I hate to cut you all off because this conversation is so important and imperative for our community. But unfortunately, we have run out of time, and I want to be mindful of that. This conversation will be posted on our podcast series, which you can find us again by searching Obolete in any of your podcast applications that you use. It will also be posted on Facebook and all of our social media pages, so please feel free to share it. And then if you're very interested in continuing the conversation, please reach out to us. We're very interested in serving our community, so let us know. And again, thank you so much. And next month, actually in January, we'll have an event in Minnesota, and it will be mostly women is our target audience. And it's just an opportunity for us to come together, connect, have conversations such as these in a more open space where we can see each other and confront each other, I guess, for lack of a better word. But it's just an opportunity for us to socialize. So if you live in Minnesota or are new to the area and or are interested in continuing these conversations, please come out. That flyer will go out in a couple days. So join us, and thank you all so much for being here again. I appreciate it so much, especially Shubay and Najaha again.
Yeah, thank you all for having us and for listening to our rants about not smoking. We hope that this was helpful and that you guys, received our message and feel that, this can continue, this dialogue can continue, and that we hope to work together to come up with better alternatives for our community.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, everyone, for coming out.
Thank you for joining us on our monthly podcast. If you're interested in learning more about this topic or are interested in leading a conversation, please contact us on our social media outlets. Our handles are at Obolete on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. You can also contact us via our email or our website, which is obolete.org. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you on our next podcast.